Session number 12418, reel 3.
To disconcert the enemy, the regiments and brigades, etc., were kept on the move all to different areas. We went to Featherstone in Yorkshire for a matter of about 10 days. From Featherstone, we moved to Broadstairs and took up the coastal defences there. Of course, all on the coast, it was all barbed wire, and we were on the alert all the time. But the families, you were not allowed, your family was not there, and my wife, she'd been with me when I was at Featherstone, but whilst I was at Broadstairs, she took up residence in Canterbury. So when I was allowed to leave, I could visit my. But we were, it was coastal defences, it was all barbed wire and everything all along the front. But luckily, even though there was a threatened invasion, it never really materialised.
How did you like doing coastal defence? How did you like doing coastal defence?
Well, I was a company sergeant major, and we were actually in the Grand Hotel at Broadstairs, and it was interesting work. But we never really got any alarms. I mean, that's we never. You had to sit the odd standby. Whilst we were in Broadstairs, we were told that a well-known personage was going to visit the battalion, and we had to prepare for him. And that weekend, I said to my company, all the companies were dispersed, but my company was in Broadstairs, and we were told that this well-known personage was going to come and visit to look at the defences and inspect my company. So on the that weekend, he was due to come on the Monday. On the weekend, I said to my company commander, we had to find the Guard of Honour. So I said, the chaps on the Guard of Honour, would you like to let them go on a weekend leave? I said, I'll arrange for them to hand in all their equipment and clothing, etc. It was battle dress that was worn, and I'll do all the cleaning and etc., which I did do. We paraded outside the Grand Hotel. It was a lovely open area there, and we still did not know who was coming to inspect us. It was finally Mr. Churchill, who was the Prime Minister, and the King of Yugoslavia, the young King. Well, it was ever so interesting. And, well, I suppose we were honoured, actually, because we were the only... Mind you, the commanding officer, who was Colonel Pickering, came with and the entourage. but it was ever so interesting. And
which month was that? Which month was that?
August 1941. Yes.
This was a broadside.
Yes. From there, the battalion was moved to Old Park Barracks, which is near Dover. And whilst there, I was appointed or promoted warrant officer class 1 and appointed regimental sergeant major, from where I was posted to Stoughton Barracks at Guildford to the 30th Battalion that was situated there. Once again, it was just this battalion was on defence duties. And of course, my wife was allowed to move to Guildford and live in, not in quarters, but to live to occupy a quarter, an area, a home. She took up residence with some friends. So it was, the family was together. But after, in the June of that year, this was 1942, I was promoted in the January 1942. In the June, I was posted to the 2nd 5th Battalion, which was situated in Sudbury. They were on home defence duties, and they were training to go overseas. I remained with the 2nd 5th Queen's for a matter of until the August, and in the August we received notification that we were going abroad. The division was proceeding abroad, and I with the second command of the battalion, a Major Richardson at that time, proceeded to Gourock in Yorkshire, in Scotland. I was to take up the duties of Regimental Sergeant Major on the ship on which the battalion was trained, which was the SS Olden Barneveld, which was a Dutch ship, and the battalion followed on afterwards. But all the while I was ship's RSM, and therefore from the journey from Gourock to we were due to go to North Africa, but on the trip, when we were at Cape Town, we were given orders, or the division was given orders, that they were not going to North Africa, but we were to go to Iraq. The object of the exercise there was that the Germans were making their breakthrough and had got to I can't think of the name of the place.
Caucasus?
No.
Stalingrad?
Yes, Stalingrad. Where, oh, well done. The object of the exercise of the Germans was to break through Stalingrad, break through to India, and join up with the Japanese forces, who at this time had overrun the British forces in the Pacific. But luckily the Germans were held, and my battalion went to Kirkuk, and it was a terrible place. And of course,
what was so terrible about it?
Oh, it was there was nothing there, and it was bleak countryside, entirely different what it is now, but it was bleak countryside, and we were not very far away from the River Tigris. And of course, after our arrival, we ran into winter, and the snow there was feet deep, and we were under canvas, and it was not at all congenial. We remained there for 6 months because the Germans had been held at Stalingrad. Therefore, the breakthrough was over. We stayed there. We stayed there for 6 months, and then we made. We were ordered to join the Eighth Army, which were in North Africa at this time, and we made the longest approach march that has ever been made by a division. It was over 6,000 miles to go from Iraq to where the 8th Army were finishing the clearing of the Germans from North Africa. We got to the where the battle was taking place, and we actually finished the we were there for about 6 weeks. And
where did you first go into action in North Africa?
Just before in Fiederville, in Fiederville, which is
in Tunisia.
Yes, in Tunisia. And we were there for 6 weeks.
Can you tell me what happened when you went into action at Enfiderville?
Yes, it's a hilly and mountainous country, and the Bosch finally collapsed. Surrendered, and I will remember my commanding officer, Lieutenant Colonel J.Y. Whitfield, coming, approaching towards the battalion. He'd gone off with a party to collect German prisoners of war, and there were a matter of 5,000 prisoners of war that were actually taken prisoner by my battalion.
But what was the fighting like at Enfiderville?
It was close country, and of course the I'm trying to think.
Was it infantry or were there tanks?
No, it was all infantry. On our front, it was all infantry because it was mountains and or mountainous country. Therefore, there would be no need. Armour was on the other side, which was more on the flat country. But
were you RSM then?
I was Regimental Sergeant Major, and Regimental Sergeant Major's duty was to ensure that ammunition supply was always there for the companies to come and collect. And
did you always make sure that they had ammunition, or did you run out?
Oh no, you used to go to the ammunition supply depot consistently, probably twice a day, to ensure that your ammunition was there for to replenish as it was used.
Did your battalion take many casualties in Tunisia?
Well, as I say, Colonel Whitfield, he came in with approximately 5,000. Well, of course, the fighting then had ceased, so that's the only prisoners we actually took, only because we'd been told that to go and collect those they'd surrendered, and we just had to collect them.
What impression did you get of the prisoners?
Oh, they were pleased to, yes, they were pleased to have given in. Mind you, they were very good fighters, the Boche, entirely different to the Italians. Of course, the Italians were there as well, but entirely different calibre people altogether.
Were the Germans defiant, or?
No, they were pleased to pleased it was all over. All the prisoners that we took.
Were they hungry?
Well, I don't know, because we just supplied them. And
did you capture much in the way of weapons and equipment?
Oh yes, there was a mount, but because they just dumped it, and that was the rear parties or other parties used to collect that. It wasn't the job of the regular battalions to do that. Is this all being recorded?
Yes.
Oh, all right. But of course, then in Tunis, there was a celebration was held, which unfortunately I missed, because at that time there was a lot of stomach trouble about through the food that we were having, and instead of the even though I was regimental sergeant major, I could not attend the celebrations which took place in June, because I'd got this stomach bug, not only I and many others as well, and while the celebrations were on, I was in a field hospital for two or three days, so I was never able to attend the celebrations which was held under the command of General Alexander. He was the commanding officer of the 8th Army at that time.
Why do you think there were so many intestinal problems?
Because of the food. It was M&V, that was meat and vegetables, and it was might have been tainted. I mean, there were so many people taken ill with this stomach trouble that I should think it was through the M&V, which was probably tin, because M&B, all they did was sort of empty the tin and it was soup. So, as I say, I miss the celebrations. But we went to a field hospital I was there for 2 days, I remember. And of course, it was during this time that, being regimental sergeant major, you would have felt quite a nice position in the parade, but that's neither here nor there. Well, after the Tunis, we left Tunis and we went to Benghazi, and we started training in the desert, knowing that we were going to there was going to be an invasion, which ultimately was. And whilst I was in the desert. I was Regimental Sergeant Major, and I had to train the police staff under my control, a matter of six personnel, in running out of tapes and various other activities, climbing up mythical ships and various other things. Whilst I was there, I was in my tent, the phone rang, and the operator said, there's a matlow coming to see you, sir. So I thought, I wonder who the matlow is. And my youngest brother came in. He was a petty officer in the Navy. He came in with one of his mates, and he found out that I was in North Africa. He made inquiries, and it was something out of this world, you know, to meet your brother all that distance away from England. We got together, and I asked the adjutant if he could get into contact with the my brother's he was on a landing ship tanks, if he could get in conversation with the commander. And the commander gave my brother and his friend permission to stay overnight, you know, in the well, where we were, and we were all under tentage. And so that was something, but we just carried on training until we all returned to Tripoli, from where ultimately we went into landing craft, and we knew we were going to have an invasion, but of course we knew that it would not be in the foot of Italy, because an invasion had already taken place there, and our ultimate destination was Salerno, where it was hard fighting, and of course the Bosch put out on over their radio that the British forces that had invaded had been pushed back into the sea. Well, it was rough going, but they were wrong, because we finally pushed them right back from Salerno. But at this time, it was about I and the Prevost that had been doing all this preliminary training were in the leading transport, and we disembarked on the shore, and I was under command. Captain Barnett was under command of our party, and the object of our exercise was we had all the tapes, was to run a lateral tape and then three other tapes, the object there being that when the troops came ashore, they knew that where those tapes were, there was no mines. And we just carried on, even though the Bosch was there and we were under fire. The more I think of it, the more I wonder, because we just carried on as though we were in the desert doing this. We ran the tapes out and ran them out. We ran them out laterally and forward, a matter of about 100 yards forward, and the area was about 100 yards. I know there were three lines. on which the troops, when they came ashore, had to walk, because they knew all the, where those lines were. There were no mines.
Were sappers with you to tell you where it was?
No, we had no sappers or anything.
How did you know where there were no mines then?
Well, because we'd run these tapes out, and where these tapes were, we couldn't have walked over the... if there'd been mines, we would have gone up.
But who told you which was the mine-free area?
Oh, nobody knew. It was just one of the, it was something that you took your chance. I mean, if there'd been mines, it was bad luck. On the a matter of 100 yards farther on to the left, the 2nd 7th Queens, I was in 2nd 5th Queens, the 2nd 7th Queens were actually... They had casualties through going on mines, because even though the tapes had run out, they'd followed us a matter of 6 hours after our battalion, and they probably thought that all the mines had been cleared, but they had casualties. But as I say, we did not, and I remember that all the landing ships that were following us with all the troops on board, after we'd run out the lines, I report, incidentally, the Captain Barnett, he was in charge of our detachment, he got wounded, so he'd strayed off, and I never did see Captain Barnett again. I know he was evacuated, and so I reported back to Colonel Whitfield, who was the commanding officer of the 2nd 5th, everything's all right, sir. And the majority of the troops that were there, they all carried, all had with them bandoliers which contained mortar shells, 3-inch mortar shells, and their orders were that directly they landed was to dump all the mortar shells, and as they would be forwarded to the troops afterwards, and also push bikes. Runners had push bikes. There was I know there was telecommunication, but as well as that, between the companies and the platoons, they had what we call platoon runners, who were responsible for communications between the one and the other. But our job, this was about 4 o'clock in the morning when the balance of the troops arrived, and I remember I reported, I said, everything's all right, sir, go along the tapes. And of course, we never had any casualties, because the troops did, but it was very close country, and just away from the beach, it was there were streams, and so it was not very congenial. The object of the Prevost, who were under me, was to accumulate all the bicycles and mortars, and we slowly but surely were to take them forward, which we did, and it was daylight actually when we finished. And I then reported to battalion headquarters,